I've spent the last few months travelling far and wide in the new Methodist circuit, and it's lovely to be a little bit nearer home and with faces that I recognise. When Richard and I moved into our current house some 6 years ago, it had been empty for about 25 years. Although visited occasionally by its previous owners and kept clean and tidy, when we moved in, there was no telephone line, no plumbing for a washing machine, archaic wallpaper all over the walls and ceilings, and carpets that were quite frankly awful. But we saw the potential, and it immediately felt like home. Work to modernise our home has occurred in waves, with various jobs being carried out at different times. And during the past few weeks, several new projects have been started, and some have now even been finished. Amidst it all, the spirit level, I have one here, has been well and truly used by the various workmen in our home in order to ensure that walls have been level and new cupboards and new staircase handrails have been straight, and by myself to ensure that their work was right, that it measured up, and so that I could be prepared to speak out and tell them if it wasn't. Decorating and house jobs were far from Amos's mind in the Old Testament reading we have heard this morning. But in the vision he experienced, and we have had read to us, he described the judgment awaiting Israel, which as a nation had gone too far in its corruption to escape judgment. The vision, or picture shown to Amos by the Lord, was a plumb line held against a wall. As the weight on the string was allowed to hang free, it was clear that the wall was not straight and would eventually collapse. The reality was that the Torah, the Jewish holy book, was the standard that the plumb line measured, and it was clear that the nation of Israel was so out of true that it would collapse. The high places and sanctuaries would be deserted by the Lord, and Israel would not experience God's protection in war. Amidst all the corruption, injustice and unrighteousness of the day, Amos, although not a professional court prophet, was given the authority in his call from God to speak out and announce the judgment coming. Amos was called by God from his life among the shepherds of Tekoa, a village 12 miles south of Jerusalem, to prophesy to the northern kingdom of Israel. Although quite obviously an ordinary man by any estimation, it is perhaps wrong to think of him as a humble young shepherd who followed the flocks over the hills. The words used to describe him as a shepherd indicates that he was more than likely a person of social standing who traded in sheep and goats and other agricultural products. In fact, you can almost imagine the conversation between him and God if he was to be called today. "What's that? Another missed call on my mobile? Don't folk know I'm working today? I don't usually get a very good signal here in the village of Tekoa where I live. Looks as though I've got a voicemail message though. Amos. Please ring back. It's about prophets. It must be important if it's about prophets. That would be welcome, as the price of livestock has nosedived. I'll give the caller a ring back. Who did you say you were? God? You're having me on. So you're not from the Tocoa Better Business Bureau offering me a juicy contract in order to make a profit. You're talking about prophets, as in Moses. Hang on a minute. This has got absolutely nothing to do with me. I'm not religious. I'm a farmer. You've got the wrong number. Okay, I'm still here. I haven't hung up on you yet. Yes, you're right, God. I've seen poor people driven off their land. I've seen loan sharks taking the very cloak off of their debtors' backs. I've heard rich traders boast about their short measures and loaded scales. But God, whilst I may have a voice, eyes, ears, and a heart that desires justice, I'm not a prophet, and I'm not ready to be sent even by you. What's that you said? You've called me. You will be with me. And I can get in touch with you any time. It's only the price of a local call. When one thinks of a prophet, what images come to mind? Perhaps a picture of John the Baptist with robes, a beard, and almost certainly in need of a good haircut. Maybe a picture of someone who could, or indeed can, foretell the future. Or perhaps a picture of someone whose behaviour would strike a modern spectator as bizarre. A careful look at the range of prophets mentioned in the Bible illustrates, however, that one must not lose sight of the fact that they actually were very diverse. They didn't look alike, and they didn't fulfill the same functions. That said, they did speak words or images which were of God, and they were entrusted by God to carry out his work. They did say things about God and about people, sometimes things which people actually didn't want to hear. They were characterized by conviction and motivation, and they refused to allow the conventions of the cultural norm get in the way of the word of God. And finally, they stood close to God, and because of their ability to draw close to him, they had the ability to comprehend some of his truth. Amos claimed the call of a prophet as the result of the Lord calling him and giving him a message to speak. He did not have a popular message to pass on, but his deep sense of being commissioned by God gave him strength in the face of any questions to his call. He spoke out about the abuse of the poor, the perverting the course of justice, of people thinking that wealth and riches were a sign of God's blessing instead of exploitation of others. And he stated clearly that the kingdom of Israel had fallen from true plumb. In so doing, Amos showed that he had a duty and a responsibility to speak out about what he believed God was saying to his people. And just like Amos and many other prophets before or after him, and indeed those whom we might perceive to have been and be prophets in our own lifetimes, we too all have a duty to listen to God and seek to make his voice heard. Our society may or may not be as corrupt as Israel, but it's certainly not perfect. We as individuals may or may not be as corrupt as the individuals in Amos's time, but we're certainly not perfect. But we do have both the Word of God and the example of Christ to use as our plumb line or our spirit level, to hold up and see how they measure our society and us as individuals against the ultimate truths of righteousness, justice, care and love. It may be unlikely that we'll be called by God to speak out in some high-profile way as Amos was. But in our own small ways, we need to be ready, to be bold, in order to address a word, a thought, or indeed a challenge to those we love and care about, to those we only meet fleetingly, and indeed to those who we might never see, at a crucial moment which might just change their present or their future paths. When I decided the other day what Bible reading I was going to focus on in my sermon today, I got in touch with Sue Allen, who goes to Putnam Heights, to let her know, as I knew that she was on the list to lead intercessions. I got a text message back from her saying, "Just read it. Bit weird." I replied by saying that it was the best of the bunch. But I did, however, go on to say that the book of Amos is well worth a read. Good bedtime reading. There's a thought and a challenge for you all. Quite simply, Amos presented to the people of Israel and still presents to us today a very clear, sharply defined picture of God. For Amos had met with God and as a result knew him intimately. He knew what God was thinking and he knew what God wanted from him. May we too, today and in the years ahead, have opportunities to meet with and know God intimately. May we too, today and in the years ahead, know what God is thinking. And may we too, know what God wants for us. For here we are, Lord. We have heard you calling in the night. We will go, Lord, if you send us. We will hold your people in our hearts. Amen.